Haynes keeps the title as the oldest borough in Alaska, and homegrown square dance collar heats up the dance floor. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Barrett Wilbur. Those stories and more up next. If the old adage, with age comes wisdom, is true, then on average, Haynes is the wisest of Alaska's boroughs. The state released 2017 data on population this week. Haynes retained its superlative status as the oldest borough. Haynesboro has the highest average age in Alaska. That's according to new data released by Alaska's Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Eddie Hunsinger is the state demographer.
Haynes is notably the oldest borough in the state, with a median age of 49.3.
But that esteemed title is old news. Haynes became oldest borough sometime between 1970 and 1980, Hunsinger says, with a median age all of 29. Today,
the statewide median age is 34.9, so somewhat lower than the Haynes median age.
State demographers expect Haynes' age will peak in 2035 at 50.3 years. Hunsinger says the current population structure has a lot to do with history.
When the boroughs and census areas gain populations, they're younger people, young workers in their 20s to 40s. So sort of the timing of, when migration or when population expanded can have a big effect.
And as they get older, people move less, Hunsinger says. There's also more fluidity in Alaska's population than most other places. About 6% of Alaska's population both leaves and arrives each year. That turnover is even more dramatic in smaller communities, Hunsinger says.
So Haynesboro, it's even higher because there's in-state migration. So it's closer to 10%, arrives every year, and 10%, leaves each year. So there's this big turnover.
There were more births than deaths in the borough last year, 19 babies compared to 15 people who died. But because of migration, the population still decreased a little, by about 3%. Haynes' state legislators hosted a town hall yesterday in Juneau to hear from the public and talk through concerns. The 2018 legislative session gavels in next week. K2's Adeline Baxter reports.
In a packed room at the Mendenhall Valley Public Library, Senator Dennis Egan and Representatives Justin Parrish and Sam Keto III struck a somewhat pessimistic tone as they fielded questions from constituents.
We are getting to the point where we are almost out of savings in our constitutional budget reserve account.
That's Keto. He said oil revenue went from making up about 90% of state earnings to now between 20 and 25%, forcing the state to draw on savings.
We still have to provide for education and public health according to our constitution. We have to provide a transportation system. All of those things cost money.
The state needs to find ways to cover that deficit, he said, whether through a proposed state income tax, dipping into the permanent fund, or some other solution. Budget reserves won't last. Senator Egan shared his own reservations about the upcoming session.
It's an election year, and a lot of times, every 2 years, a lot of things don't happen because people are running for re-election, and they're afraid to tackle major issues. And that concerns me. It shouldn't be about election years. It should be about solving Alaska's problems.
Helen Unruh asked if there was anything to be done about legislative inaction. Representative Parrish suggested leaning on other Alaskans.
Do you have any friends in Fairbanks? If you have any friends who are represented by a senator who's in the majority, please have them call their senator. I know that when I get a call from a constituent, I take it very seriously.
Still, several community members echoed the feeling that Alaska's fiscal future is being held hostage by the Republican-led Senate majority. Juneau's legislators are all Democrats. Egan didn't contest one constituent's observation at the town hall.
We're not talking, and there's just not enough being done during the session. Lord knows the governor has tried to force you guys to work it out, calling you guys back over and over again, but to no avail.
But we do nothing.
Yeah.
Afterward, Egan said the partisan politics that have overtaken the legislature weren't always the norm.
Well, I thought we functioned really well when we were a bipartisan working group. We did a lot of great things for the people of the state, but we worked together, Republicans and Democrats and an independent. But we got things done. Lately, I don't like it. I don't like the way it's been functioning.
The 30th Alaska Legislature reconvenes Tuesday. In Juneau, I'm Madeline Baxter.
Haines can feel cold and quiet in the winter, but for Haines's homegrown square dance collar, the dark and chill are perfect conditions to heat up the dance floor. It's the middle of winter and long past sunset, but the doors and windows of the old Fort Seward Fire Hall are lit up and standing open. When you get close, you realize why. It's really hot inside. All right, here we go. People and an old-time band are squeezed together, doing the Texas Star and the Virginia Reel. Spencer Douthat has been calling a square dance for almost 2 hours. Douthat is a union millwright, leaving Haines for long stretches to work on a power plant out of Healy. He got hooked on square dancing working near Fairbanks when some neighbors threw a dance in their barn.
I feel like I discovered what dance meant. We have some natural feeling in ourselves that basically you tap into when you're dancing. It's different for every person, I think, how they kind of manifest that. But square dancing is really what caught me.
Soon, he was going to monthly dances in nearby Esther. Little did he know, he'd stumbled into one of Alaska's oldest old-time music hotspots. From what he's read, Douthat knows the music arrived in the interior with fiddle-wielding traders and trappers from Canada and Europe in the mid-1800s. It spread from there. Alaska Native people created their own style. The Athabaskan fiddle tradition has been humming along for over 150 years. The Klondike Gold Rush brought an influx of mandolins, banjos, and miners straight up Lynn Canal, looking for ways to pass dark nights.
Going from cabin to cabin, and it would be one little square and a little band crammed in the corner and a caller crammed in another corner, basically just trying to get through the winter.
Though Douthat got dancing in Fairbanks, it was moving to Haines that got him to start calling.
I want to say 2 weeks or something after I arrived, there was a flyer for a barn dance, and I thought, oh, Haines has all these wonderful things, and it even has a dance scene.
But it was actually the first dance that had happened in quite a while. Eric Holly, a banjo player, says there used to be more dancing when he arrived in 1989, but it died out in the 90s.
Recently, there's been an influx of younger folks, and I don't know if they're wanting to get in touch with their roots and culture or need an outlet for energy on cold winter nights or both, but there's been a real resurgence, and I have to credit Spencer Douthat.
At the end of Douthat's first dance in his new home, the caller asked if there was anyone in the audience who'd like to learn the craft.
No one else, raised their hand or said anything. But I went up at the end and said, hey, I just moved to town. I fell in love with square dancing. I said, okay, well, here's this book.
He plopped a tome into Douthat's hands. Cowboy Dances.
It's like a 1953 printing of like a 1930s book, and it has these like wonderful plate images. Basically, that was the beginning.
Douthat did his homework. Because he was learning, they had more dances. He started by calling one square, then a couple. Before long, he could run the entire evening.
I've reached a point where people are having fun, and then at this point, I just kind of am working on refining my technique.
So in early January, on leave from his job and visiting home, Douthat wanted to dance. So it turns out, did 20 of his friends and a band. Holly said they were ready.
The beauty of this kind of music is that you don't have to be too involved with the technical aspects of music. You can get into the zone where, everything just starts to flow and you're not wrapped up in worrying about whether someone's going
to
hear it.
Douthat wants to train someone else to call. That way he can dance too. But he won't be back from his job up north until the end of April. To get a dance going before then, someone else will have to step up and step out and spin their partner.
Let's clap for the band!
In Haines, I'm Barrett Wilbur. For KHNS News, I'm Barrett Wilbur. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Get up off of that thing and dance with you better. Get up off of that thing. that pay.